trumpet, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Do a little final Masters wrap-up. Is there anything that you were wondering, anybody, Jared, our listeners, any questions that you had about the experience or what it's like at Augusta that I didn't really get to yesterday? And so any questions that you still have, feel free to fire them on in, 225-9698.
I mean, Jared. I felt like you covered it all, all the way from the toilets to shipping merch. Everything was covered.
Again, it obviously made it in yesterday, the merch, because I've got one of my
shirts. I can only see like your, so I didn't see what kind of shirt. Cool, yeah.
Yeah, the merch got here yesterday.
How big was that box? Just curious.
There was two.
Two boxes?
There was two. Well, yeah. One of them had the poster. So, you know, like shipping a golf, like golf clubs.
So they came in a tube.
Kind of a tube. Yeah. There was two tubes because we got two posters.
Sure.
And then the other was just kind of a, you know, the stuff is so, it's already packaged, like the shirts and stuff.
It's ready to go.
So it's just ready to lay in there and go. The hats is the only thing that kept it in the bag that we kind of shopped with.
Yeah.
Or what have you. But, so we got.
Again, thank you for the hat.
No, absolutely.
It's very impressive. Yes, I took a selfie, and yes, I made some friends jealous with it. I said I had a friend who went to the Masters. This is straight from Augusta. Very cool.
All right, so we'll have some extra questions. Any other thing that you're wondering about, we'll hit it at the end of the show. Also, is the course – we had a couple of texts. I think you even maybe alluded a little bit that, yes, it was a four-shot win, and that helps take away the suspense, I guess. But is the course getting too hard? You know, it felt like on Sunday it was more the Masters groans than the roars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know conditions probably played into that a little bit, obviously, with the wind through the first few days and the firmness and the fastness of the golf course. So is it, you know, do they need maybe tame it back just a tick? That way we can get those Saturday and Sunday back nine roars that we're so used to over the course of, you know, history at Augusta. And then also, did you see the report last night?
No.
Rory to live? Question mark?
I did see.
$850 million?
Some rumblings about that. Man, that'd shake it up.
So, well, that'd be kind of the end of the show. NBA playoffs? Is the play-in generating any interest? Starts tonight. What is this, the fourth year? 2020, is that the first year? The bubble year?
Did they have it in the bubble year?
Yeah, I can't remember if they actually had it in the bubble year. So 2021 maybe when it actually started. So is it working? Is it generating interest? What's the best series so far? You know, we know, you know, three and six and 4 and 5. 2020, I thought it was the bubble year.
I didn't know if they held off or not.
I couldn't remember either.
I really, quite frankly,
I know
that year I kind of put it in.
Yes.
I filed it away.
No doubt. And so far, we know, what, four of the eight series in the totality of it. So which one's your favorite so far? And then is there a play-in tournament result in either conference that would make you more excited for the potential of a series than what we have so far right now? Does a first-round exit tarnish Oklahoma City's season? We can talk about that. And then let's hit some high school baseball. Huge day in high school baseball coming up today with a lot of district races going to be settled all across the state of Oklahoma, especially in Class 4A where there's feels like the schedule maker got it exactly right.
That's what I said last week. Yeah.
All the top teams are playing the last week
series. I was looking
at
that on Friday, and I said, man, Monday, Tuesday next week. Yes. It's like they planned this.
Yeah, it's like they had an idea. And so that's what – we'll kind of go through, obviously, out here and then everywhere else as well. And then the small schools get district tournament started here, what, most of the places Thursday probably?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
My goodness.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you're right. Sure, we'll have a texture.
I've got it pulled up here. I was just looking to see if it told me the if it tells me the date. There's Sam.
No, it's something we already know.
Yeah, that's something we talked about yesterday. Yeah, regional assignments, regional tournaments are the 25th, 26th, 27th. So that means this has to be district week.
Well, good.
So we'll tell you who's playing who, where at. I've got that pairings list up for the high school baseball and the smaller schools as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. Of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV and the Skinny on Sports podcast is available. We record every show, and you can go back and check it out if you missed it. How's it going today, Jared?
It's good.
It's good. So it's going to be a nice day. The weather, the scary weather, never really developed anywhere. In the state of Oklahoma?
Man, it sure felt like it when we were leaving yesterday.
I couldn't agree more. I thought,
this is going to be...
I might as well turn around and come back in.
Yeah,
Because it was my day.
Yep.
Yeah, I walked outside at 5 and it was like, well, there's no way. This isn't going to storm. It just felt like one of those days, but it never materialized. It was awesome to watch those low-level clouds that were kind of hanging around yesterday evening. Just how fast they were. I mean, they were just zooming.
Yeah.
Out there, and a lot of times that's another kind of telltale sign that when the winds are that cranked up that, you know, we could have some problems, but we didn't. And so day one of my week is over without having to stay up all
you're
night.
In the clear now.
Saturday is looking a pretty good chance. And, you know, that's something that I actually heard a promo driving in about a Friday. And I wonder if you might see Oklahoma change their spring game to Friday. And not Saturday because of what the weather
they've done that.
Forecast is supposed to be. So
I'm okay with that Friday game.
Yeah, see, I'm going to have to we're going to have to talk about that. I'm going to have to go ahead and be on the other side
I
of that.
I felt like
one.
I was going to be in the minority in that opinion, but anywho.
I don't think you are. I think a lot of people are upset about it.
Really?
I do. No. And I would just say, would you rather have it Friday night, the opening weekend, or 11 o'clock on Saturday?
I'd rather have Saturday night. We're in the SEC.
Yeah, well, Saturday night's not available for Temple. Probably is the problem.
Oh, darn.
I don't know what the...
Temple?
I don't know what the...
We're adjusting the schedule based on what Temple can and can't do?
Yeah, the TV people are. That's for sure. Mm. The Oklahoma name had enough clout to go to Friday night. Somebody else went, too. Somebody else went to Thursday, SEC. Maybe Arkansas?
Oh, is it Vanderbilt?
I think it was Arkansas.
Oh.
That went to... you know, there's... A lot of times there's an SEC... You know, like South Carolina, North Carolina has been a Thursday.
I remember that.
You know, opening up when especially South Carolina was supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it kind of, I remember that. You know, I remember a year there was, it was like NC State and South, somebody like that, a non-conference. But yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And I get it. It is a holiday weekend and it feels like a Saturday in a way.
I'd rather it be Friday than Sunday. You know, a couple years ago that Houston game was on the Sunday.
Sunday night,
That was weird. Just night.
Well, I reserve Sunday night for that's my rodeo night, you know.
Yeah.
So I already had it. I had to go to the rodeo, so I was listening to the game. But the Friday night thing is weird.
Well, here's the thing. Weird. It gives if the high school football is a thing, but
not
guess
for
what?
Us. I was
well. That's what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
What is today? Well, it was announced what 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
You were gone.
Or maybe last week.
It was last week.
Okay. Yeah. It's the first week of April.
Yeah.
First week of September or last week of August, everybody can play on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's a concern. Which I think it is. I think it always has been. I think it was with Stoops, where where he was really. There were some of those times where it could have been a possibility that, you know, he kind of shied away from that because of the high school football.
Well, even Gundy up mm-hmm. in Stillwater said the same thing. So that's reserved for that's high school football. As for what they do too, you know, they want to go and recruit. They want to be mm-hmm. at their games to be seen.
Sure.
And if they can't, you know, who else is going to be there? But maybe they will make some adjustments.
Yeah, I think we'll see a whole bunch of Thursday night games that week. And I think we're already swell. Who knows? Because of the ruling last week from the
you know, I didn't really dive into that. I didn't even touch it.
Well, it's all changing.
Right.
So whatever schedule there was is gone.
We might have to trash it up.
Oh, it's definitely trashed.
Yeah, my wife, before that ruling came down, she goes, hey, can you send me, do you have a football schedule? I'm making out a calendar so I know when you're gone, all that. Oh, yeah, and I sent it to her, and then that happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can go ahead and.
Have you talked to the higher-ups over at the school? Do we know anything, if that's a possibility?
What do you mean?
Of a schedule change.
Oh, yeah, 100% change. The schedule's changing, period. The district's changing.
Yeah.
Heritage Hall won't be in it.
We're going to trade him for McGinnis?
Most don't believe that Newcastle will be in it. Hmm. Matter of fact, Newcastle's not even going to be in 4A.
That was inevitable. That was mm-hmm. coming.
It's going to be Woodward. Woodward will have to come back into the district because they won't get bumped down.
Ah, nuts.
From 3A. So that'll open up a spot.
Well, there's our homecoming game.
It'll open up a spot for non-district, because that was going to be a non-district game this year.
Yeah.
I have an inkling of who it might be.
Bridge Creek.
Nope.
Canadian.
Possibly.
Ah. Those are a fun pair of games there. Well, one was.
That's a possibility.
Fun trip anyways.
I can't wait to see. I think everybody's just kind of waiting. The idea was.
Now, what does this mean? Possible week zero game?
I don't know the answer to that.
Please, Hunt, if you're listening,
night. I don't know the answer to that one.
He's an OU guy. I think he would.
I don't know the answer to that one. I think it depends on kind of what hole in the schedule there was out in the Texas Panhandle.
I did like the kind of the mid-season break. Didn't we have one of those? We had an off week.
We're going to, and then it filled up with Carl Albert, right?
Because we had a 7-team district. We played 4 non-district games, though. That's right.
That's right. We ended up with 10.
But we played like 3 Thursday night games last year.
Uh-huh.
That's why I felt like we
always had a Friday. I think there was going to be 3 this year. Hmm. The first one, now we're going back to Altus.
Right.
Then I don't remember.
Anyway,
it doesn't really matter because it's all going to be completely different. But we shall see how that transpires. All right, that's coming up in the fall, but today, huge day in high school baseball. The bigger schools, really 4A, last district series, all start. It was supposed to start yesterday. Some played, some didn't. I know out here we didn't. So Elk City and Weatherford, top 2 teams, the Big Elks 10-0. The Eagles 9-1. The only game they lost was to McGinnis, who is in third. I mean, there's a pretty vast separation within District 4A3 between the top 3 and the bottom 4. It looks like Kingfisher beat Clinton yesterday to move ahead into fourth at 4-7, whereas the Reds are 3-8. But Elk City 10-1, 9-1 for Weatherford, and then 9-3 for McGinnis. So there could be a chance if the Elks sweep the Eagles. That with those other two, with McGinnis and Weatherford splitting their series, those district points would come into play. So, you know, even in losses, Weatherford, if they can keep it as close as possible, you know what I mean, that maybe they can figure out a way to do that. But they're pretty far behind in the points to McGinnis, 55-42. So losses aren't going to help, obviously, that. And so it looks to me like, you know, they also have to win 1 of 2. Clinch. The district again this year, which means host regionals, which probably eventually would mean hosting the area or the super regional that's coming up in a couple of weeks if you get there. And so, I mean, the weather caused yesterday's game not to happen in Weatherford. And so what that means is the last district start at home, it'll be a home start for Cash. That's kind of what you get now, is a home game with him on the hill to be able to clinch winning District 4A3. So that, in a way, worked out pretty good, I think.
You think?
I do.
I think it worked out pretty well. And then there are other districts, too, that are having that will be decided.
Tuttle and Chickasha played.
They got one in? Really?
They played yesterday. Tuttle wins 4-1. And so the Tigers 13-0, the Chicks 12-1. That may come around now to, if Chickasha can win, they'd have to win by more than 3 runs. So I think that's the first tiebreaker, not the points. I think maybe head-to-head run differential type of stuff. So Tuttle is in control, at least going into today there. Let's see where that game's at. Today's game is at home. So they played at Tuttle yesterday, Chickasha today. Marlow and Newcastle was also right down to the wire in that district. But then Marlow beat Sulphur yesterday to hand Newcastle. So Newcastle with 2 losses. Marlow's going to win that district at 11-0, Newcastle 8-2. And then Blanchard and Bethany is the other one. Blanchard beat Bethany yesterday 13-4. They're in pretty good shape. The Lions are pretty good shape with another game coming against Bethany today, 10-1 and 11-2. So it looks like, you know, there's been, you know, 4 or 5 teams throughout the season that I think most would kind of put at the top: the Elks, Tuttle, Chickasha, Blanchard, and then maybe Marlow, maybe somebody from the East. You know what I'm saying? There's just kind of been where it's in, and those teams have performed how most people would have thought.
What do those East districts look like?
You've got Hilldale and Stigler tied at 9-2 and 8-2. With Hilldale on top there. Salisaw 8-1. Inola is 9-2. They played yesterday, and Inola actually won 7-5. So if they can complete the sweep, then Inola would be the district champ over Salisaw. Verdigris and Nulagaw are right there together. Verdigris swept them, and so Verdigris is in a great spot, one game ahead with one game to play. And then Cushing and North Rock Creek, and also Perkins. That's a tight race. 11-2 Cushing, 10-3 for those other two. So, you know, there's I don't know how much you'll see. You know, used to, you wouldn't see any Eastern really side of the state teams until you got to the first round of the state tournament.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see West versus East in these super regionals, or in this area tournaments, because everything gets reseeded 1 through 16 after next week's regionals are over. The winners of those, then all the coaches rank them.
I really like, from everything I'm hearing, and I know it's almost fool's gold to look at records and compare records, who has how many losses, because the opponents could be, the quality opponents who they lose to are different. But I really like the West chances of getting a lot of representation in there.
Maybe too.
And I say West meaning west of 35. So we're talking Blanchard. We're talking, of course, Elk City, Tuttle. There's a lot of teams there. Marlow, you mentioned. There's
Chickasha.
Chickasha, yes.
And then, you know, Weatherford, McGinnis, or...
Oh, they'll be right there.
Around there. Bethany is another team. They're coming out here Friday? Thursday.
It's on the schedule. I forgot what the day
was. I think it's Thursday. Because now there's 3 in a row after missing yesterday. You know, and that's the thing. There's been a bunch of these games of kind of the top end of these districts playing each other. You know, I think the Elks played 2 against Tuttle, had Chickasha on the schedule. Got Blanchard on the schedule coming up next week at the first of the week, heading into the regional tournament. You know, Sulphur's the team that the Elks played just the other day. So everyone's kind of seen each other so far, right? I mean, maybe not the top end arms have gone against each other, yeah. But as far as just the teams being on the same field, we've We've seen a bunch of those games, which is pretty awesome. I'm glad that that's the way it goes, scheduling those games and getting them played and, you know, kind of getting a feel for where everybody's at. I know the Elks had beaten Tuttle, split with Tuttle, lost to Chickasha by a run on a last inning home run, one of those days where it was super-duper windy on a Saturday. You know, and then obviously you've got these teams like Tuttle and Chickasha playing district games. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And I think you're right. Overall, out of the eight teams that are eventually going to be in the 4A baseball state tournament, I think you could see five or six kind of that west of I-35. And that's going to be different because of the way that it's changed.
Yeah.
The format has changed to where it allows for that. Instead of, you know, the four districts on the west kind of playing regionals against each other, This opens up the possibility of some different matchups.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it. So, and that's cool. And I think it evens up the playing field, honestly. It gives up the teams that felt like, man, if we were located here or in this district, we probably would have made state that year. This kind of opens that up for everybody to have a shot.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I do, too. The other schools, the smaller schools, districts coming in Class 2A, which is next week. A and B are this week. Out here, Hobart has to go to Cashin for a three-game series. Mangum's at Walters. Let's see. Sarah host Merritt. Is that about everybody? That's about everybody in 2A that's around here. A couple of those on the road, and then, you know, the battle for Beckham County district baseball style over in Sayre. In Class A, there's a ton of teams that are hosting these districts. And, of course, as soon as those results are over, then we'll find out kind of what happens in regionals or where people get sent to go play regionals. Arapahoe Butler is hosting O'Keen and Ringwood. You got Canute hosting Burns Flatdale City and Sealing. Let's see, Sterling. I know they've been playing some really good baseball. Beat Geronimo, and they'll play Geronimo in Rush Springs. Hydro Weekly is hosting Oklahoma Christian Academy in Verdon. Sentinel against Central and Central High of Marlow and Empire. Hollis is hosting Cheyenne and Snyder. Shattuck's hosting Fargo Gage, Fort Supply, and Moreland. Let's see, Thomas is going to Apache. Bingeroni hosts Cordell and Carnegie. That's about rounds it out there in Class A. And then in Class B, ton of them hosting again. Calumet, Fort Cobb. Navajo's got Chatty and Olusty. Granite's hosted Duke and Indiahoma. Leedy welcomes Eric and Mountain View Godibo. Visai's got Buffalo and Winoka. Hammond's got Balco, Forgan, and Beaver. Blair hosts Granfield and Tipton. Let's see. Tipton Arnett has Sweetwater and Tyrone. Anybody else? What that's telling you is, to me, Jared, is all these teams in A and B that are hosting these district tournaments, obviously the favorites because of how they played and how they were ranked in the regular season. And it also means to me that we're going to see a bunch of these teams. Some will have to travel, but I bet we see a bunch of them, you know, three out of a four next week in a regional together.
Yeah, based on ranking, I guess that's where
they're rankings be. And locations and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So if one's near you, go see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if what you say next week,
mm-hmm.
is that when districts start for four or the first round or whatever it's called for 4A?
Yeah, regionals.
Okay, so it can't be here. So there's always sometimes there's an opportunity for the small school somewhere in this area to play over here in Ackley.
Yeah, if it rains or something.
But, yeah.
Or if
it's just open, they'll go, hey, can we just host it over there? But, yeah, but there'll be something around here.
Yeah, a win today would take that possibility out just because that would mean Elk City's guaranteed to host the regional tournament as the district champ. With a win today or tomorrow against Weatherford. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, what do we got? You know, Navajo and Granite, 7-8. That's probably, well, there's just four. In spring, there's eight regionals, and you have to win, right? I think you have to win
they're
your
still
regional.
With that classic format, right?
Yes.
So district, regional, state.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have, like, you know, in fall, two go. There's only like four. There's less regionals. Isn't that in baseball? Fall baseball?
Yeah, in fall two, advance out
two
of
a advance
regional.
Out of a regional. Yeah, but this one, but in the spring, you have to win your regional.
Correct.
So there's probably a chance that you see some of these teams playing each other in the smaller schools. Are we streaming the game? No.
Come playoffs, though, right?
Yeah. Next week.
Playoffs, we'll get it going.
Yeah, we are not.
I need to get on that.
I need to bring you that computer. All right, so that's high school baseball. Ready to go with district tournaments in the small schools. Districts are wrapping up in the bigger schools, and a big one today. Right here in Ackley Park, 5 o'clock. Probably not your last chance to see Cash throw inside Ackley Park, but the chances are dwindling down pretty
quickly.
Running
out of chances.
Yeah. The Elks got their ace on the hill against Weatherford Eagles trying to win the district title third in a row, I think, if they do.
I'm starting to lose count, so I mean,
I don't want to do the old announcer's jinx, but I think there is a stat out there that we can talk about maybe on Thursday morning if things go the Brown and White's way. All right, this is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Paul Jones Drug, Rodney Skinner and the gang at Paul Jones Care You Can Trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery. You can drive through and pick your stuff up. They'll test you curbside. Vaccinations available, and also the blister packs. Long-term care unit packaging at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. By the way, programming note, tomorrow, right here in studio with us, will be the brand new, newly minted Elk City Boys head basketball coach, Tyler Fohl, will be in with us tomorrow, introduce himself to the community. He's been over at Arapahoe as an assistant. And I'll tell you what else he is. He's a very good golfer. A very good golfer.
Very good.
So he'll be with us tomorrow. Introduce him as the next head coach of Elk City Boys basketball. When we come back, NBA playoffs. Play-in starts tonight. Will the Lakers tank it?
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Hey, is this heaven? No.
It's the Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Guess what day it is, Jared? It's Tuesday. What does that mean?
Well, I'm trying to think the specials at Boomtown Grill.
$5 chicken fry and one side. It's Tuesday special at Boomtown Grill. Chicken fried steak, $5. A side of, I would probably tell you, mashed potatoes and gravy to go with that. But if you don't want that special, I'm not sure why you wouldn't. But if you don't, they've got all kinds of other stuff: hamburgers, French dip sandwich, the Cuban sandwich is awesome. If you're more of an appetizer guy, there's wings. Thursday's 50-cent wing day. The chicken nachos as the appetizer are fantastic. They've got everything. And even if you're more of the healthier side of things, there's salads, grilled chicken salad, steak salad, all kinds of variety at Boomtown Grill. 7 days a week, it's open 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 Friday and Saturday. Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. All right, NBA playoffs. Do you say it starts tonight with the play-in? Are we there with that yet?
You know, I used to be, because baseball started this before the NBA did, right? They had that one game, wild card game or whatever they called it, to get in. And then I would see teams print T-shirts that said they're in the playoffs. Like, no, you're not in the playoffs until you're in a series. This isn't the playoffs. But I've turned face on this. I feel like this is the playoffs, because you're still going to – it's that playoff atmosphere that there, it's, you know, for some cases it's your season on the line. So that level of intensity is going to be ramped up a little bit. I say, yeah. Yeah, I consider it playoffs.
Yeah, you know,
postseason.
Postseason. That's what I would say, too.
Yeah.
Because if you don't make it in a series, I don't really think you made the playoffs. But you didn't completely miss out.
No.
The teams that aren't playing anymore. So, yeah, I would say you made it to the postseason. And then if you find a way to win one of these games or make it into a series, then you're actually a playoff team, quote unquote, if that makes sense. I do think it's cool, the play-in, because it's a way to incorporate a little bit of the March Madness feel to the NBA. You know, you never really had that because everything's been a series. But, you know, it's a win and you're in, losing you're out scenario for the four teams. And then, of course, a winner and a loser will play on Friday in an absolute do or die. And so I think that's the cool part of what they've done with the play-in, is to kind of incorporate a little bit of March Madness into the NBA playoffs, which it's a totally different feel, you know, because no series is guaranteed to get to Game 7 to be able to have that. You know, there's a few that do every year throughout the playoffs, but you know it's pretty rare to get to a Game 7 in, say, like the NBA Finals. It doesn't happen very often.
No.
And so we get to see that on the front end instead of the back end. So it's good stuff. I like this idea. And it just so happens that as it started, it's worked in the favor of the TV, because all of a sudden it seems like you've had the Lakers and Golden State, one of the two, LeBron or Steph or both, in the play-in every single year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a smart move. They're recognizing that March Madness grabs the country's attention, the world's attention. This could too. And I think, though, they're still looking for that playoff or that madness moment, that buzzer-beating shot to advance a team and to end another team's season, which could come. You never know. But I think it adds to the intensity of those games because they're playing for their seasons.
Yeah.
It's a good move for the NBA to incorporate this. Like, you know, and I'm wondering if they're, okay, are we trying to capture that magic early in the season with that in-season tournament? I beg to differ on that one. Because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no
ramifications.
What's the reward?
Losing or, yeah.
Right.
Well, the reward is money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that does nothing for me.
No.
So I'm not buying the shirt if the Thunder were to win that thing. I'm not. I don't care.
And it seems like so far ago. So,
yeah.
You know, so quickly into the season that
I was still very much in football mode.
That's the problem for the NBA, and it's why they should start on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then extend the season a little further when, you know, you're the only show in town outside of regular season baseball games. You know, you get all the way to July, have the NBA Finals in July, and then boom, here we go, rolling into August, and you almost completely stay away from football.
Right.
But
yeah,
that's not going to happen. They're not going to shorten the season because there's too much money involved.
No.
Of playing 82 and generating the revenue. Which series do you like the best as far as the ones that are decided
set right now? It has to be the Clippers and Mavs for me. The Clippers are finally healthy with this iteration of this team.
I don't know.
Are they not?
Poor Kawhi.
I heard yesterday that he was healthy.
I saw his knees. Chris Broussard, I think, or somebody said they're concerned.
Well, he's a liar because he made me sound stupid just now. I heard yesterday that they were healthy.
And they could be playing a little possum.
A little bit of that, too. And then of course Luka and Kyrie on the other side, and so the star power alone right there intrigues me with that one. And I think it's just almost an evened series matchup. The matchup is real even. And then if you ask me who my second favorite is, I'd say in the West with Timberwolves and the Suns. They were getting chippy at each other the other day, and now we get a series of that. So, and there's a lot of pressure on the Suns, a lot of pressure on this. This makeup of this team where they put all their chips to the middle of the table and said, we're all in. And so they're going to see if it pays off. So, but yeah, number one for me is Clippers and Mavs. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's got to be. I think it's got to be those two. Part of me wants it to be Orlando and Cleveland because Orlando's a little bit thunderish as far as a way young team that's figured out a way to get in the playoffs and had and exceeded expectations as far as where they were out on the path. But Clippers in Dallas, because of the star power that could possibly be out there. I mean, you're talking about Kawhi, Paul George, you know, Russ, and then on the other side, Kyrie and Luka. Yeah, you could see that turning into an awesome, awesome series. The Clippers looks like they won 2 out of 3 from the Mavs in the regular season, but they haven't played. Where did it go? They haven't played in a while, so they haven't. These two teams that are constructed right now, after the trade deadline, haven't played. As they played on, yeah, their last game was the 20th of December. They played 3 games in the first, 25 games of the season. So, yeah, we haven't seen anything even close to what we're going to see as far as the makeups of the rosters. And, you know, I think it comes down to if Kawhi can be healthy. You know, that was one of the things why the Clippers were so good kind of once the Harden trade happened and then they sort of figured it out. You know, the Kawhi being healthy was a big part of a lot of people. You know, you think back to kind of around Christmas, after Christmas into January, there was a lot of people that thought the Clippers might just be the best team in the league with what they've got. And right. Kawhi being healthy was a giant, giant part of that. Now, all of a sudden, you see these things just kind of pop up. And, you know, the one thing about them, you know, Paul George feels and Kawhi, although similar in age to Russ and James Harden, they're still just a little bit younger. Feeling. And so with the Clips, I mean, at any point you can even kind of saw it last year with Harden. You know, he can have a game or two, but the stretches and putting them all together for a series don't really seem possible anymore just because of the grind that it is every other night. You know, and we see this with older guys in the playoffs where they'll just kind of, you know, it's pretty roller coastery up and down. But man, if they get like an extra day of rest, you know, the legs, it's amazing how this happens in the playoffs for the veteran guys. But with those other two around him and whatever Russ can give or Norman Powell or whoever else, I do think the Clippers they're built for this. They're built for playoffs. And
yeah, I mean, everyone thought they were when they've got those pairing together with, you know, Paul George and
Kawhi.
I almost called him Kyrie, but they've never been healthy at the same time. So this is very intriguing, and they are like the third favorite according to Vegas, third or fourth favorite to win it.
Yeah, and I think for good reason. I think there's cautionary tales for Thunder fans. Until you see this team play games in the playoffs, it's a totally different animal. The game, it's not the same game as what we've seen. And I think you're starting to kind of hear some of the national people that maybe didn't even realize Oklahoma City was going to make the playoffs. They look up and they go, oh, my gosh, they're the one seed. You know, and immediately the conversation turns to, should the Lakers lose on purpose tonight so they can set up a series with Oklahoma City because of the matchups? Mm-hmm. And I know that was talked a little bit. We talked just briefly about that yesterday. You know, it was a topic conversation, I know, on Jim's show. And that would be a really interesting ploy, considering if you don't win, you're out.
Yeah.
But I can understand the thinking of it. Like, in a vacuum, it makes sense because of the matchup problems that it appears L.A. causes for Oklahoma City, Anthony Davis in particular, LeBron in particular. You know, you got those two guys just seem really hard to stop, and the game will slow down and they can use their strengths. But when you think about losing on purpose, are you 100% sure you could beat Steph?
Right.
I mean, 100% sure. And then your other option, if Sacramento is the winner, there's that stat out there of Sabonis against Anthony Davis and the Kings dominating the Lakers. Is that where, I mean, it would be.
Here's another
thing. It'd be pretty crazy. I mean, because it's not like, you know, some of those teams in the East lost this weekend or Sunday, but they were in the playoffs. They were just trying to create a matchup in a series. Tanking tonight for L.A. puts them in a position where they may not make the playoffs.
Right.
That's a totally different animal in my mind. Now, do you want to play Denver? No. But the Lakers are championship or bust, right? I mean, the way they're constructed with LeBron aging, with Anthony Davis, that is, at least the organizational, it's championship or bust. So, do they even really care? They're going to have to play Denver eventually, you would think. So, who cares? Play them first.
Yeah, exactly. And the thought of going for tanking or whatever for Oklahoma. First off, if they were trying to avoid this scenario, they should have done it in midseason or in this towards the end of the season to set up this scenario. But they were just playing just to get into the playoff or the play-in tournament. But go, and I get the matchup conversation for Oklahoma City and the Lakers. I get all that. But I think that, and this was pointed out, I saw this last night, it makes a lot of sense. And the Thunder, because why is it important to get the one seed?
Home
court.
Yeah.
They're 33-8 at home. Now, I don't know how many times I was against the Lakers, those eight. I don't have that in front of me. My point is, statistically, you got a good shot being a one seed against whoever you're playing because you get to play on your home court more often than not. And I like they play really, really good at home. They do.
Yeah, 33-8, second best record, tied for the second best record with Denver. Only behind Boston, who was 37-4 on their home floor. And another thing that you always see in the playoffs with the home and away conversation is this. One of the best things about Oklahoma City is those guys that come off the bench and contribute, whether it be Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Cason Wallace, name them. There's a bunch of them, Kendrick Williams, that have helped throughout the season. What do you see in the playoffs? Guys like that, those types of guys always play better at home than on the road in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. More familiarity, whatever it is, that helps those kind of others around the stars that you have to have play great no matter where the game is at. You know, SGA, J-Dub, Chet to a certain extent have to play great. And then those other guys seem to do better in home games in the playoffs than they do on the road.
What if tonight in the Lakers-Pelicans game starts and it's clear that Lakers are going for it and they're playing and then midway through the third, Pelicans are suddenly going to run and it's just become quite apparent that this game is going to get out of hand or it's just not winnable. What do you think? What I'm asking is, do the Lakers in mid-game go, pull them off?
I don't know why they would.
We don't want to risk Anthony Davis's health anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
This isn't going to happen for us. They just set everybody.
With the next game being Friday, I mean, it's not like it's a back-to-back.
Right.
Or even tomorrow and only one day off. So I don't know. I mean, if they're down 25 with 10 minutes to go, probably
that's
that happens.
Well, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
It'll happen anyway. But I don't think you're – I really don't think you're going to see that. Maybe you will. And man, if you're the young Thunder and you're watching tonight and you kind of get a sense that, okay, these guys want a piece of us, I think that's got to put a big old giant chip on your shoulder. And that's if L.A. can even come back and beat either Golden State or Sacramento. You know, that to me, that would be the funniest outcome of all. The arrogance of L.A. and LeBron to want to pick their matchup and then get beat on Friday and don't even make the playoffs. Now, that would be awesome. That would be the greatest. Don't know if it's going to happen, but that would be great.
Well, here's the fact. That has turned into kind of the L.A. way. The arrogance that you speak of, and then they go and lose some games. Now, they did make the Western Conference Finals last year, but that's kind of turned into that L.A. way. They just assume, oh, we got LeBron, and we'll win it all every year that he's here. But that's always been a L.A. mentality.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. I mean,
and that's always been, you know, when you talk about what their expectations are, and their expectations, their fans is what I'm speaking to, is they expect to play for a title, if not win it every single year, despite the whatever the makeup of the team is. But that would be funny in that scenario, what you're speaking of.
Oh, that'd be the best. That would be my favorite outcome of the entire playoffs, probably. Okay.
But don't worry, LA, if you bow out, don't worry. Bronny's coming. Don't worry about it.
No matter the opponent, would a first-round exit tarnish Oklahoma City's season?
No. Well, I get it, being the one seed, and your conventional wisdom tells you, well, they should be the favorite all the way to, say, the Western Conference Finals. But I don't think so, because what I said yesterday about them being way ahead of schedule. Way ahead of schedule. Where they were last year in this play-in tournament we're speaking of, just all of a sudden, they're in the – I mean, they've blown the over-under and win totals out of the water. They got the one seed. They're way ahead of schedule. Everything right here is a bonus. Now, I've talked about a bonus. You know what? And so, no, I don't think it tarnishes anything. If anything, right now, this is why I'm excited about the one seed, because of the future that it's showing us that's coming, what we think is next year and the year after and the year after, we hope, if everything still goes according to plan. But I don't think it should tarnish anything.
I think tarnish may be too big of a word. It's going to be disappointing. Just because...
I mean, especially if it's a first-round exit.
That's what I'm saying, first-round
exit. Because I think the next step, at least this year, was win a playoff series, right? And now that, in a weird way, getting that one seed kind of adds that pressure to them. Is they're expecting us to win now.
No doubt about it. And there's only been five times where the eight has beaten the one. And two of those were in the 90s when it was just best of five, which, to me, it's more likely in a best of five than it is a best of seven, because the more games you play, the better chance the best team ought to have to win. If that makes sense. In 94, of course, that iconic picture or video of Mutombo in Denver as he grasps the ball on his back in the middle of the lane at Seattle.
Yeah.
That was the first time. The Knicks beat the Heat in 1999. That was a best of five. And then in the early 2000s, I think it was 2003, is when it went to best of seven. And since then, it's happened three times. Golden State, Baron Davis and that team beat Dallas in 2007 as the eighth seed. A Thunder opponent in 2011 in the second round was Memphis. The Grizzlies beat the Spurs 4-2 as the eighth seed. And then, of course, the Thunder beat them and ended up in the Western Conference Finals against Dallas. And then last year, the team that would eventually end up as the runner-up in the NBA Finals, the Miami Heat, were the eighth seed, and they knocked off Milwaukee as the one.
Yep.
So, and they were also the first play-in team to win a series. They did it like a day before the Lakers. I guess the Lakers did it too.
Yeah.
But, and so those are the, you know, to think of only five times in the history, if you were number six, disappointing is a better word than say tarnish. Because even as the one seed, no one thinks the Thunder are going to make the finals. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's really the opposite. You're hearing the conversation nationally of, should the Lakers tank tonight to play the Thunder? Or I even saw, are the Thunder the worst worst one seed of all time? You know, those are conversations that can be had. I think the youth, I don't even know if those questions are being asked because of the quality of play. I think it's totally to do with the youth and how young they are. You know, SGA and Lu Dort, as far as major contributors, are the only guys that have ever played in the playoffs. Dort has never played a road playoff game. You know, he only bubbled. So, you know, SGA is the only guy that's going to play a significant amount, unless you count Hayward, which I guess you could count Gordon Hayward. He's probably going to play more minutes than a lot of people wish he would. So, he's experienced it. But other than that, man, it's a brand new deal for a lot of these guys.
Worse is a wrong word to use, because that is insinuating it's a bad team. the way I see it. This is not a bad team. They won 57 games.
Right.
I think the question is it the most inexperienced one seed? And I think that's
well, the answer is 100%
on.
Yes.
Yeah. They're what, the second youngest?
They're the youngest ever to win the one seed.
Ever to get the one seed?
Yes.
But worse is such a harsh word. That's just a clickbait word. This is a good team.
It's a good team.
They're a good team. And I think more talk like that, more talk of the Lakers trying to tank to get to the Thunder should just use that's bulletin board material for them. You know they're listening. You know they're watching these morning shows. They're hearing this chatter about what we're just talking about. And that, I think, is going to motivate them a little bit.
It could.
Give them a little chip on their shoulder. No, look, they don't think we should be a one seed. They're trying to play us because they think they can beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go tell them that. Let's go show them. We're a one seed for a reason. We won 57 games for a reason. We won the division for a reason. We're good.
Yeah. It's just totally – I think it's just youth-based.
Yeah.
Completely. And that makes sense. You've never seen a team this young, really, outside of the other Thunder. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
The Skinny on Sports.
Oh. Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you so much to Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust right here in Elk City at 809 North Main Street. Paul Jones Convenience Packaging. What is that? Well, that's the individual packaging of your daily medication. So you do not have to have 20 different pill bottles that you have to load up your pill caddy on the right day with the right dosage. No, 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 no. They do it for you. They'll package it. You just open it up, take your meds, and move on down life's path. Also, DME, which is the durable medical equipment. That's your walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, etc. They accept most insurances. Also, gifts and greeting cards. They got a lot of cool stuff down at Paul Jones Drug. Graduations coming right now. I mean, I can't believe it's like 3 weeks away from high school graduations. But you can pick up cool gifts and greeting cards for the graduate, either in your family or one of your friends. Paul Jones Drug has it all. 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. All right, so at the top of the show, I asked, okay, was there any questions anybody had? You, Jared, or the listeners? About the Masters. And believe it or not, the ones I've had texted to my phone are all exactly wondering the same thing. About food. How was the food?
How was the food?
Yeah,
yeah. Amazingly, we didn't really talk about food yesterday.
A little bit, but not, you know, just kind of the
process.
That's right.
Not how did it, well, so how was it?
So very first question was, did you get a pimento cheese sandwich? Did you like it? I did not order a pimento cheese sandwich, but Kara did, and I took a bite of it, and it was good.
Well, here's the deal. Pimento cheese is nasty crap.
It was good.
Why put that on bread and eat it? I mean, you might as well be eating cat crap.
It was good. It really was.
Well, good.
It was tasty. If you don't know me, I have a giant aversion to condiments, meaning I don't eat condiments. I don't eat ketchup. I don't eat mustard. I don't darn sure don't eat mayonnaise or anything like that. Well, the ham and cheese on rye sandwich I bought.
I knew
I should have got the barbecue. I knew it as I'm going through the line. I know I need to get the barbecue because they're going to have, but I didn't. I picked up a ham and cheese and it had something on there and I did. I tasted the ham without anything on it, and it was tasty, no doubt. But barbecue looked good. I did taste the pimento cheese, and it was good. The other question was, I know you had cold beer. Yes, I had all three. There was three different choices. There was what they called, I mean, they literally just said domestic. I have read through the grapevine that is Miller Lite. They had one called Import. I could never figure out what that was.
Heineken, and maybe?
I'm not sure.
Probably not there.
I'm not sure what it was. And then they used to serve Blue Moon, but now they're in the brewing business, and they brew their own beer. Then they call it the Crow's Nest.
Cool. I like that
Which
name.
Goes along with, you know, the Crow's Nest, where the amateurs get to stay on the property throughout the week of the Masters. It was a wheaty beer.
Oh, I like that. Good.
And it had, and it actually had its own cup. So everything else, all the other adult beers, or actually all the beers, the other two,
as opposed to kids' beers,
the other two. Well, I was thinking the wine was in a in a clear cup.
Okay.
But the other two beers were in the green, just Masters logos cup. But this, the Crow's Nest, actually had its own cup. It says Crow's Nest on it. There's about three of them in my house now.
So you, when people are grabbing cups, are these like souvenir cups?
Yeah, you keep them.
You get to keep them.
Oh, like, yeah.
I see people just have stacks of them.
That's what it was, yes. Yeah, and the, you know, the clear ones were for like tea and like energy drinks. Mm-hmm. And then the green ones were for the beers, and then the one said Crow's Nest on it.
Yeah, all I saw were the green ones on TV.
Yeah. Other food, the breakfast sandwich. Mm. Might have been one of the best breakfast sandwiches I've ever had.
Really?
It was delicious. It was bacon, sausage, egg, and cheese. And it was on kind of a, I would call it maybe a brioche type bun. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. The sausage was awesome. It had a great flavor. Had a little spice to it. The breakfast sandwich was great. Great. I did not have a bite of the blueberry muffin, but the Kara had one. April had one. Actually, I think April might have went back and got another one a little bit later. And they both said it was delicious, the blueberry muffin. Let's see. I had a cookie that was white chocolate and pecans, and I wish I had a dozen of them at home. It was awesome.
Now, the talk around here when you were gone leading up on Monday, Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday, was the peach ice cream sandwich.
I had one of those with my breakfast.
Oh, with the breakfast?
Well, because here's the deal. I had read that you have to grab them pretty quick because they run out.
Yeah.
And so it might not have been, it might have been the next time. But okay, so here's what it was. I had one. You think of the normal ice cream sandwich of being like the two chocolate buns or whatever you want to call
cookie crust, whatever. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, for this, the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich, the bun part was two sugar cookies.
See, I was wondering if it was chocolate. It was sugar cookies.
It was sugar cookies. And
round?
Yeah, it was round. It was a totally round. And it was about that much ice cream. What do you say that is? Like an inch and a half?
Inch and a half, yeah.
Inch and a half worth of ice cream. And then the two sugar cookies on top and bottom. It was really tasty. But with the sweetness of the sugar cookies themselves, it was hard to pick up much peach flavor. Like, I needed it more peachy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was times where you can kind of squeeze, you know, as it starts to melt, you can kind of squeeze it and then get more ice cream than cookie in a certain bite.
Yeah.
Then you could kind of pick up the peach flavor, but it wasn't overly peachy ice cream, which I was really kind of hoping it would be. It was tasty. It was very, very tasty. But I don't know how much, at least for my taste buds, I picked up that it was a peach ice cream sandwich. It was just a delicious ice cream sandwich that happened to have a little bit of peach flavor to it. But yeah, those were delicious. let's see. I'm trying to think. There was oatmeal raisin cookies, chocolate chip cookies, the one I had with the pecans, and white chocolate. There were some different, like some pecan clusters, almost like a turtle-ish type of dessert that I never tried. Kara had the trail mix. Then, you know, it's trail mix. I think that was about it of the food that we tried. Basically everything at some point. Maybe not all the sandwiches, but the barbecue sandwich, that's what Kissling had. He said it was good. But really, I think at the end of the day, the two things I was most impressed with food-wise was by far the breakfast sandwich and those cookies. You know, white chocolate pecan cookie was just delicious. And that breakfast sandwich was awesome. Only served till 10, so you had to kind of get with the program to be able to notch one of those up. But, man, it was good. It was very, very, very good. And the pimento cheese was good. It was tasty. So that was the food.
That's good.
That was the food part of the Masters. Worth going. There's no doubt about it. All right. That'll do it. Tomorrow we'll have high school baseball to talk about. We'll have play-in game results to talk about. Much, much, much more. Maybe get to some spring game stuff, which is coming over the weekend.
Yeah,
or maybe Friday.
Are we excited?
You know, I heard Kale talk about this yesterday after us. He said the only thing you're worried about is getting everybody healthy and through it.
Yeah.
Have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.